Okay, everybody, so here we go. This is the, I do not know how many years, maybe the 18th year of learning with women in depth during the summer. And we initially started off learning halachic shailas. Then we started off repeating what happened on Shavuos night. We've been doing that for maybe the last 10 years. This year is the first time that I'm not giving three shiurim, I'm only giving two. The reason I'm only giving two is because I can't give three. The reason I can't give three is because the subject that we're about to discuss, it's just too sensitive, in my opinion, for a man to discuss it with a woman at all. I don't think it's a shiur that should be discussed with women by a man ever, maybe by a woman with women. I'm not sure about that either. So I condensed the first two shiurim into one shiur. Okay. With that being said, I'd like to also add that I am nervous. I'm nervous. I usually get nervous before I say shiurim, but I'm a little more nervous now than I normally am because of the subject matter. That's the sensitive part, or the sensitivity part. Now, besides that, the shiur, like many shiurim that we've given over the summer, is talking about a cutting-edge topic which can be extremely controversial. And I would like to be magdim, which means I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that we are doing what we do every summer. We're going to be learning lahalocha. We are not. This is not a musa shmuz. It's not a class on a philosophical subject. It's a class on a halachic subject, which is challenging to deal with lahalocha. You've been incredibly special over the last however amount of summers it's been, as we learn as part of the Erica Nita Meir Women's Learning Division of Yeshurin, and as we learn as part of the Rashi Schnell Summer of Inspiration. So with that in mind, there are three piles here. I try to take one from each pile, and we'll Bez Hashem Yisbarach begin this year. Okay, now this year is a shiur which is relevant in my opinion. It is the most relevant question that there is facing Klal Yisrael today. I know of no shaila that is more relevant than this shaila. The shiur is called technology and halacha. How can we live with it? What's the halacha? And the second shiur is how can we live without it? What's the halacha? And as I said, we're going to combine those two shiurim. This is, again, in my humble opinion, the most important shaila there is facing Klal Yisrael right now. Simple reason. This year is nogea to children, boys, girls. It's nogea to teenagers, boys, girls. It's nogea. It's relevant to men and women. It's relevant to married men, married women, single women. It's nogea to limud haTorah. It's nogea bein odom, between a person and his friend, bein odom lachavero. It's relevant to, between a person and their rav. It's relevant between a person and their parents. It's relative between a parent and his or her child or children. And it's, of course, relevant between man and God. I know of no other shaila that has that relevancy. And I know of no other shaila that bismanenu, in our present day situation, has that relevancy. Now, you may all disagree with everything I just said. That's fine. I have no problem with people disagreeing with what I say. I'm telling you my opinion. And like any other subject there is in the world, and especially in the world of halacha, the more one learns about the subject, the more a person understands the subject. And with more havana in the subject, with more understanding in the subject, the better armed a person is to deal with the subject. Okay, how's that for a hakdama? Are we ready? Are we ready to go? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Now, in the sheets that you have that are marked Shiur 1, please open them up. And we're going to start off with Paragraph 1. Now, this is what happens in Klal Yisrael. There are psukim in Tanakh. There are psukim in Tanakh. Tanakh means Torah, the Vayim Ksuvim, as you all know. Some psukim in Tanakh have statements about them which are found in Chazal, which means there are Tanoim or Amoroim who explain the pasuk. Some psukim don't have any statements by Chazal, they only have statements by Rishonim, or perhaps Geonim, Rashi, the Ramban in Chumash, the Radak. Those are Rishonim who explain a pasuk. Some psukim may not have Chazal or Rishonim. They have Achroinim, great commentators up to the 19th century and beyond, such as the Malbim or the Netziv, who explain psukim. There are people who explain psukim kineged Chazal. They explain psukim the way they want to translate them. Very often that can be blasphemous, or that can be kfira, a person who is a denier in God. There is no license to explain a pasuk. A person doesn't have a free license. Chazal had their licenses, Rishonim have their licenses, Achreinim have their licenses, and even Talmidei Chachamim. Men and women are allowed to have insights into psukim bizmanenu, but they have to make sure that their insight is not an insight that will render them, chas v'sholom, into a situation of saying blasphemy, or into a situation of saying something which is pure kfira. What does kfira mean, Rabbi Isaiah?
Heresy.
So here's the pasuk in Yeshaya. V'yotzem einov meiros bira. A person closes their eyes from seeing that which is bad. Hu miroimim. That person is elevated. Okay, what does that pasuk mean? Person who closes their eyes from seeing that which is bad. Hu miroimim. That person is elevated. So there are many things that could be bad. Many things that could be bad. Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibowitz said that he was affected the rest of his life because he saw two drunks in the shtetl that he grew up in punching each other until his father pulled him away from the window. We have lost all sensitivity to what certain things mean. We pay to go watch people punch each other sometimes. He said that his life was affected for the rest of his life because he watched a human being punch another human being. Just an idea of what a sensitivity is, what's called a sensitivity. So that's the pasuk. Chazal, in Makis, paragraph 2, explain the pasuk. Now, as I said, those people may have walked in a little later, it's a very difficult topic for me to talk about, and it's a topic dealing with a lot of sensitivity. You can ask any question you want, like we've done any summer. Everybody's welcome to ask any question they want. I hope to be able to explain to the best of my ability and answer any questions that you ask. So the paragraph 2 starts off the top line, Bo Yeshaya v'amida malsheish. Yeshaya HaNovi came and said that there are six fundamental principles, a very difficult concept in general, there are six fundamental principles that are extremely important for every person to hold on to. And this will be a handle for a person to hold on to all 613. Now, in the second line from the bottom, it says, what does our pasuk mean? This is all halacha, Rabbi Isaiah. Again, this is not a musa shmuz, and it's a challenging thing to talk about, but I feel it must be spoken about. I've thought about giving this shiur ready for about 3 months, whether I should give this shiur or not. I've never thought so long about giving a shiur. And I really debated with myself, but I hope with Siyata Deshmaya we'll be able to come out with saying the words the right way. This refers to a person who does not stare at women while they are washing garments. They are doing a wash. Now, I don't know if anybody here, how many people remember? I'm sure there are some people who do. I still remember on the farm using a washboard. Okay. Now, when you use a washboard, a person using a washboard is usually in a somewhat uncompromised position because they have to bend over. And being in a position in which a human being is bent over, that's an uncompromised position. I want to say one thing, Rabbi Isaiah. What is called an uncompromised position or a position lacking in tznius is not decided by Hollywood. Hollywood has no jurisdiction whatsoever over halacha. I'm not being facetious. What Hollywood says is general audience or whatever they use, whatever terms they're using, GP and R and X, has nothing to do with halacha. Absolutely nothing to do with halacha. What has to do with halacha is what it says in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, which is based off of the Torah, which is based off of the Rambam, which is based off of the Gemara. The problem is that very often people don't learn these sugyas. Just like there's halachas about milchadika spoons and fleshadika pots, and fleshadika spoons and milchadika pots, there are halachas about what's considered a tsnua. I'm not talking about women or men right now. I'm talking about the concept of what is considered tsnius or a tsnua, what is considered an uncompromised position. Bending over to wash clothing is an uncompromised position. You remember why Boaz decided that Ruth should be his wife? Because when she picked up the crops, she did not bend over to pick them up. She sat down on the floor to pick them up. That created David HaMelech. That created David HaMelech. Once again, sensitivity to this issue is still scary for me, but understanding the issue is something I hold has to be done. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which is explained by Chazal. Watching, looking at a woman by a man while she is washing clothing at a riverbed, is explained by the Rishonim, it's something that a person should not do. Something that a person should not do. Okay, now, one more Gemara, which is in Baba Basra, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Paragraph 3. Underlined. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba. The same pasuk. Ze sheino mistakel benoshim. This is talking about a person who does not stare at women b'shoa shayim des al kvisa while they're doing a wash. What is this halacha relevant to? We again don't live this way anymore, but the extrapolation is enormous. There was a time, and you can still even see it if you tour Eretz Yisrael well. I say well, meaning if you go into the real deep into the old neighborhoods in Eretz Yisrael, you will see that the neighborhoods were always constructed around a common courtyard. There were apartments that came off of a chutzner. Now, even those abodes nowadays no longer look or function the way they once did. The chutzner was the community room. People did not have a room for baking. There was no such thing as having an oven which reached 300-500 degrees in an apartment. There was no such thing. Couldn't function. You burnt down the walls. The oven was inside the chutzner. Now, neighbors had rights to say to people, you can do this in the chutzner, you can't do this in the chutzner. We have laws like that in the books nowadays. The police were on my block or on our block last week because people were shooting off firecrackers in the park. Now, the park is a common area, but you can't shoot firecrackers or fireworks after 11 o'clock at night. Unfortunately, the people doing it were from children, and the cops came. The cops came back a second time. It was 12 o'clock at night, then 1 o'clock at night, then 1:30 at night. That's the same thing. There are community areas or communal areas, and people have rights. You have right to have a picnic in a park. You may have to ask permission for a large crowd. You can play basketball in a park. You could cook in a chutzner. Okay? Now, it's an unbelievable halacha. Just to give you a, could you wash clothing in the chutzner, or were you forced to go down to the local stream and wash clothing? So the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Shulchan Aruch, Chayshin Mishpat. If a person wants to put an animal, a smelly animal, in the chutzner, the neighbors can stop him. And anything else that the people don't want, except if a woman wants to wash clothing in the courtyard, they can't stop her. Because she does not want to go down to a public area to bend over to wash clothing. She can force the neighbors to allow her to wash clothing. Obviously, the neighbors can't watch her wash clothing, but she says she wants privacy while she washes clothing, so they can make a rotation system. They can make a rotation system. That's what a woman can do. That's how far this halacha goes. Now, here's the question. The question is like this. What do you mean that a person does not look at a woman while she's washing clothing in a private area that's obvious? What are we talking about? So, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, paragraph 3 on page 1. Zeh shein mistakel benoshim, The pasuk in Yeshayah is talking about people don't stare at women while they're washing clothing. What are we talking about? These next three lines are some of the most fundamental lines in Shas to normal interactive behavior between genders. If there's another way for the man to walk, and instead he chooses to walk by the riverbed where women sometimes are washing clothing, he's a Russian. Why are you walking that way? Go walk a different way. Why'd you walk that way? Now, four lines from the bottom in paragraph four. I remember learning this line in the yeshiva and absolutely not understanding the comprehension of the ramifications. The Rashbam says, in the middle of the four lines from the bottom, right opposite almost the number four, Rashahu, the man who walks by while women are washing clothing is a Rasha. Says the Rashbam. Rashbam was married. The Rashbam was the grandson of Rashi. V'yafal pi isha oitzim einov, says the Rashbam. The man walks by and his eyes are closed. The eyes are closed. So what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? He walked by and his eyes are closed. So what did he do wrong? He didn't see anything. What happened? Says the Rashbam, shalohoya loy lekariv. He should not have gotten close. He shouldn't have walked there in the first place. Exactly. Elahachik men aveira. He should have distanced himself from the aveira. Tekaimalon hachik men akir. Unbelievable concept. A person should stay away from potentiality. It doesn't mean that a person shouldn't look. That's obvious. That the pasuk says explicitly that a person shouldn't look. But the chiddush here is that the person shouldn't even go to a place where he may end up looking. That's also a problem. It's an incredible, incredible statement. Incredible statement. Okay, now, with that in mind, or with the first Gemara that we have to learn just mentioned, now let's look at now we're going to try to figure out a Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, the famous Chofetz Chaim, it's going to be found on page 5, Roman numeral 5. Chofetz Chaim has the following incredible shaila in his famous sefer on Lashon Hara. Chofetz Chaim's two most famous svarim are Chofetz Chaim and Mishneh Berurah. Chofetz Chaim he wrote first. Mishneh Berurah took him 27 years. Chofetz Chaim he wrote when he was still a young man in his 30s. It's an incredible sefer. It's a much more difficult sefer to have written than the Mishneh Berurah in one respect, that he had nothing to base on. Meaning, if you've ever seen the inside of a Mishneh Berurah, on the top of the Mishneh Berurah is the halacha, as written by the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishneh Berurah is a commentator. So the framework of the sefer was already there. He commented on the sefer. Chofetz Chaim meant he collated from all of his shas the laws of Lashon Hara. They were never put into a sefer before he put them into a sefer. It's an incredible work. To think the man was in his 30s, it's incomprehensible. It's really incomprehensible. So Chofetz Chaim says like this. Paragraph 19 on the top of the page. Here we go. Afilu shmias Lashon Hara hu issa Torah. Listening to Lashon Hara is an issa Torah. What does that mean? Underlined, Haino Leilach v'lishmaya. I want to go to a group of people who I know are going to be speaking Lashon Hara. They're my friends. It's geshmak. It's enjoyable. Why it's enjoyable is a fantastic psychological shaila. Nobody is eating anything. Nobody's getting paid anything. Nobody's walking away with any consumable items. But people like to hear Lashon Hara about other people. There's something geshmak about it. Knocking people, talking about people. Not for today's year. Shmias Lashonara is a Torah, Hainu Leilach Lishmoy. Avolim Yosha Bechabures Anoshim Shinis Kapshulin Yinmo. If you're sitting down with a group of people who came for a business meeting, Bishchilu L'Dabed, what maybe they came for a lunch, maybe came for a Kiddush, came from Avraham Malka. Bishchilu L'Dabed Dvarim Asurim, and they started talking Dvarim Asurim V'Umishar, and he understands that if he tells them to stop talking, nobody's going to listen to anything he or she says. Paragraph 20. If you can leave the gathering, oy, or the second Eitzah, L'Niach Etzbo B'Yoznov, to put your fingers in your ears, extremely difficult. Mitzvah Rabba, that's an unbelievable mitzvah. Gemara Shema Chazal, B'Ksubis. Fine. But Shavur is referring to a Gemara in Ksubis that says, why are fingers tapered at the end? Why are they tapered? Why aren't they? So you can put them in your ears. Why is there extra skin here by the ear? So you can flip it up and then put your finger in your ear. To do what? Not to listen to people speaking Lashon Hara. Okay. Incredible concept. So like this. However, says the Mishapura, putting your finger in your ear, it's kasha loy ma'oid, it's challenging, very difficult to do it. People are going to laugh at you. Hard to do. Mishapura's svarim are so down to earth and so real on the human level. Nobody's going to put their finger in their ear. It's very hard to do it. Should you do it? Yes. Can you do it physically? Yes. Are you going to do it? Probably no. Right? That's going to be the answer. Probably no. Okay, then the Mishapura says like this. Paragraph 21. What do you have to do? Yira oz azariz az atzmoy, lahamin al nafshoy, beis tzorazu. I double underlined it. B'lilchoim milchemesh Hashem em Yitzray. Okay, now here we are. This is a halacha sefer. Mishnah Berurah is telling you the following. We are engaged in a war. Right now we're engaged in a war. Do you have anybody ever engaged in war? Everybody here is going to say, Baruch Hashem, they've never been in war. I'll tell you the truth, you've all been at war. You want a simple example? I'll give you a simple example. A person knows, for whatever the reason is, weight, health, both, that there's a plate of Oreo cookies sitting there. You should not be eating them. Your doctor told you shouldn't be eating them. Your mother told you shouldn't be eating them. Your daughter told you shouldn't be eating them. Husband told you shouldn't be eating them. Whatever the situation is, you know yourself you shouldn't be eating them. So what happens? Who tells you to eat them? I'm being very serious now. Who tells a person to eat something they know they shouldn't eat? The Yetzer Hara. And that, for some people, Rachman al Zan, persons who are diabetic, it's a real mechama. It's a real mechama. You go to Jewel, and all we're surrounded by is fats and sugar. And the only thing you can't eat are fats and sugar. So, what do you do? 5,000 types of potato chips, 20,000 types of cookies, ice cream with the Ad L'Shamayim, what are you supposed to do? That's a mechama. So now, I'm hearing Gishmak Lashon Hara. It is so Gishmak. Says the Mishnah Berurah, fight it. It's Oreo cookies and fight it. Kedeshli Koshal Koponim Yisadarais. Says the Mishnah Berurah now, opposite number 21. These are the three conditions. Number one, Yachlip Benafshe Beheskim Gomer Shalaham and Ladibri Ginush Shemesap Mel Chavreim. What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisrael? I'm not going to believe what they tell me. You think it's possible not to believe what someone tells you? Is it possible?
Yes.
Is it possible not to believe what you see? Because maybe what you see is not really what's happening. What does that mean? A young man moved into the neighborhood, came to Shul to daven for 2 weeks. I started talking to him. Hello, how are you? This and that. He seemed like a nice person. I went to a wedding from one of the shul members of my wife, was a very fancy hotel. Clinton had stayed at the hotel 3 weeks beforehand, and I hurt my leg. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know why. I don't remember what happened, but I had to sit down in the lobby after the chuppah. So I'm sitting in the lobby after the chuppah talking to my wife, and the guy who just introduced himself to me in shul a week and a half ago, walks out of this hotel, no yarmulke, with this blonde, I don't have to say anything more. I look at him in the eye, no contact. So I said to my wife, I don't know what's going on here. This guy, I just saw him at Shacharis this morning. He's been in shul for the last 2 weeks. Don't ask me why Hashem put these words in my mouth. I come back to shul, and I thought, either I met the guy by Meirav or the next time at Shacharis. I said, listen, you and I have to talk. Either you have an identical twin, Oh, you got problems. She looks at me. He turns white. He says, he's here. You must have seen him with a blonde chicks. He has an identical twin. He said he's been accused, suspected, whatever, accused. So what we see is what's happening. Who knows? So there's a milchama going on. Talk to Mishnah Berurah and the Chavetz Chaim. First thing is, who says you should believe it? I guess five of your friends told you. They read in the newspaper. They know what they saw. They're sure what they saw. They heard what they saw. Two ate him in a bezdin. Number one, then the person should say, I really don't enjoy these things, even though they may. They got to work on themselves. And then a person should sit there and not have any reflections on their face that they enjoy what they're hearing. Doimim, like an Evan Doimim, Vayi Doimarin. This is very difficult. This is a la halacha. You know, there's a big tumult in Lakewood all the time. Where do you put the Sefer Chofetz Chaim? In the Musa section or in the halacha section? I have a first cousin married to a woman, a brilliant woman, who's, she has I believe, a PhD in library science. I used to laugh. What do you know? What do you, take the books and put them on the shelf. What's the guy's going to do? So there's a Chochmah. Everything has a Chochmah. Here's the Shiloh. Where does the Sefer go? In the Halacha section or the Musa section? In Lakewood, we learned Sefer Chofetz Chaim during Halacha Seder, not during Musa Seder. It's Halacha Sefer. It's a big tumult. A big tumult. Okay, that's piece number one. Piece number two. There's a Gemara, which Chofetz Chaim is going to quote right now. A person sitting, minding their own business, and out of the house of idolatry, right around the corner, they are now burning incense. As an act of idol worship. Okay? They're burning incense as an act of idol worship. May a person inhale them and say, ganz gut, smells nice. And they probably do smell nice. It's a shayla halacha. Can you go across the street? I don't know. That hasn't happened to me in many years. You go across the street from Dunkin' Donuts by Reichenstein Schul. At the hour that they throw out all the donuts, they bake the donuts, you can be overwhelmed by the incredible, depends if you consider pleasurable, fragrance of coming out of Dunkin' Donuts. Some people might be revolted by it. Some people might enjoy it. Okay. Is that considered on Pesach? Is that also? To smell chametz. Okay. Well, different shayla. Interesting shayla. Smelling. Inhaling the fragrance of the incense of the Avodah Zarah. Down below, in the bottom of page 5, Roman numeral 5, down below it says, Ber Mayim Chaim, paragraph 23, but all the way in the right column where it's underlined, Chodeg Asina V'Psochem Irma Hanoa Abol Ol Yodam Bal Korchoi. A Hanoa, a pleasure, a benefit that comes to a person against his will, or a will. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested. I didn't know that next door to where I just renting an apartment, whatever, there's a house of idolatry and they're burning incense. So what's the halacha? So halacha is like this. Unbelievable concept. Let's turn over the page. And the Chofetz Chaim, before we turn over the page, I'm sorry, go to the left column. Yeah. Go to the left column. The Gemara wants to know the following. Habo, it comes to a person, Bal Korchei. What's the halacha? So in the second line in the left paragraph, right where it's right after underlined, it says, Lo yefshir v'loy mechavin l'kuli amashori. If it's not possible to avoid the fragrance, but a person does not have any kavana to enjoy the fragrance. You got that? It's impossible to avoid it. But the person has no kavana to enjoy it. That's muta l'kuliyam. Nothing you can do. You have to breathe. When you breathe, you smell. And I don't want to have kavana to enjoy it, so there's nothing you can do. Ef shevoloi mechave, if it's possible to go somewhere else, and the person doesn't, but the person has no kavana to enjoy it, that's a machlokes. Excuse me. Ef shevoloi mechave, that's a machlokes with Rav Shimon. But then the Mishnah Berurah, the Gemara completes and says, "Keep pligi hechad aloy efshe v'chom mechavein," where it's not possible, and he's mechavein. Abaye says it's mutar, Rava says it's aser, and halacha is like Rava. So therefore, where it's not possible to avoid it, but the person wants to enjoy it, we hold that's aser. You can't do that. You're breathing, but don't enjoy it. Now I'll enjoy it. not a lot of enjoy it. Not a lot of enjoy it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I have a very serious problem here. A very serious problem. This Gemara, which deals with idolatry, is extremely relevant to a Gemara of Lashon Hara. I'm in a place where I can't get up, I can't get out, I can't put my fingers on my ears. What am I supposed to do with the people who are talking Lashon Hara? It was thrust upon me. I did not bring up the subject. They brought up the subject. I don't want the subject to be discussed. I have to be able to be a domain and not enjoy the subject that's being discussed. So here we have, so to speak, an obscure Gemara about inhaling incense. And here we have halacha about talking Lashon Hara. Or listening to Lashon Hara. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable concept that we can put the two of these things together, cobble them together. Unbelievable concept. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, I have a problem. I have a problem. Esher, if it's possible to avoid it, and he is not mechavein, and the person has no kavona to enjoy it, it's okay. He says, but the Gemara we just learned says, but the man is walking to a place where he shouldn't have walked, and he keeps his eyes closed, he's a Rasha. This is halachic structure here. Let's put it all together. We have a question of a person sitting in a train compartment. You have a question of a person sitting at a table, and they're talking Lashon Hara. So should the person say to themselves, what should the person say to themselves? I don't want to have any kavod. Because it says, by smelling incense from Avodah Zarah, that you're not supposed to have any kavod. And therefore, if a person did have another way to walk, but the person has no kavod, it's okay. How come when it's talking about the woman who's washing clothing and you have another way to walk, and you walk that way, but you keep your eyes closed, it's not good enough? How come it's not good enough? That's what the Chofetz Chaim wants to know. That's what the Chofetz Chaim wants to know. What's the difference? Turn over the page, please. To page... the top of page 8, Roman numeral 8. The Mishnah Berurah says something which is frightening. Chaim says in the top line, double underlined, V'yanti harabe b'hai kushya. I worked on this kasha very hard. V'yanti harabe b'hai kushya. I'm writing a sefer on Lashon Hara. And I'm telling you that if you're found in a predicament where people are talking Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to have kavana to enjoy it. How do I know that? Because that's what it says in the Gemara in Pesachim, when it's dealing with incense. This is the beauty and the structure of learning. This is what happens when people are exposed. There's an incredible beauty and understanding where the halacha comes from. So there's a structure that says Lashon Hara is asur. Here I am, Lashon Hara is being spoken. I can't put my fingers in my ear because I don't have the inner strength to do that. We're not blaming you, we're encouraging you, but if you can't do it, you can't do it. And now they're talking Lashon Hara. So what should I do? What should I do? I should try to make sure I have no hano from listening to Lashon Hara. How do I know that? Because in the Gemara Pesachim it says, if you're thrust into a situation where there's a fragrance that you're really not allowed to smell, if you smell it and you have no kavanah to enjoy it, so it's okay. You shouldn't be there, but you couldn't avoid it. So now, ask the Mishnah Berurah, Chofetz Chaim, but in the Gemara in Bava Basra, which we started off, I'm taking everybody together, based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which said that a person should try not to look at bad things, and if the person does Meraimim, he's going to be uplifted. So now we have a question. What's our question? There it says that a person should not only not enjoy it, but should avoid it. And avoid it to the extent that even if they walk there, they should keep their eyes closed. They should keep their eyes closed. Keep their eyes closed. And if you walk there, even with your eyes closed, you're in Russia. So what happened over here? Here it says, Efsher, there was another way to go. It's okay by the incense, as long as you don't have any kavanah. It seems that when it comes to the interaction between the genders, there's an imbalance over here. It's much more severe than the Gemara in Pesachim, and it's much more severe than the halachas of Lashon Hara. That's our dilemma. The key words here are dak akrina. Is there another way to walk? Is there another way to walk? Okay, you want to hear halacha l'maaseh shalos I had over the last 20 years? Is it mutter for a 16-year-old boy to be a... This is not going to be a popular shalos for me to say. Okay, I was in Skokie Yeshiva. I was mashgiach there for 11 years. And a boy wants to know, can I be a vendor at Wrigley Field during the summer when it's 102 degrees outside? Has anybody ever been at the bleachers when it's 102 degrees outside? I'll tell you what happens in America. Okay, I've not been there in the bleachers when it's 102 degrees outside for probably 30 years, or maybe 40. Has anybody, I'm not restricting anything here, Rabbi Sai, I'm just talking, okay? There was a time, and there still is a time, where I loved to go to amusement parks. I loved water rides at amusement parks. I loved them. I love water parks, I could never go. A water park is a beach, okay. Because that's what everybody's doing. They're in their bathing suits enjoying a water park. An amusement park used to be a place where people were dressed, but they're no longer dressed in an amusement park. A baseball game was a place, if you take a look at a baseball game in the 50s, you will see that the men are wearing suits and ties and hats. That was common practice. I don't have to describe what a baseball game looks like nowadays. If you know what a kiss cam is at a baseball game, you'll understand that there's a different avira. Different avira. Kiss cam means they focus on a couple and then they kiss in front of everybody, in front of the 20, 30, 40,000 people. And I'm saying it, I'm leaving it on the tape, and the people kissing are not necessarily of opposite genders. Okay. So, you know, that's the metzius. That's the metzius. As I said in shul 2 or 3 years ago, when a person calls me up and says, I want to take my child to a baseball game, I feel for them. I said publicly, the words, yes, kid, I can't, they can't come out of my mouth anymore. I feel terrible. It's a great place to bond. The feelings I feel of going to that first baseball game with my father, Shalom, was Chol HaMoed Pesach. We brought some food with us. It was cracking walnuts. What else was there to eat? It was a matzav. We first came to Chicago. Pirkei Day Camp was going to baseball games. You know, so the world has changed. So can you be a vendor? Can a 16-year-old boy be a vendor at a baseball game? Bismaneno. I was once driving in New Hampshire with my family after Tisha B'Av. We went away on a trip. And it was raining outside. We passed the water park. So my brilliant wife, she's absolutely brilliant, she said to me, you always want to go to a water park. Go now. Mm-hmm. I said, it's raining outside. I said, that's why. Nobody there. Jumped out of the car with the whole family. I didn't have a bathing suit. I bought a bathing suit right there. They sold one for who knows how many millions of dollars. I bought a bathing suit and up and down the water park for 15 minutes and it stopped raining. People came and left. I must have thought we were loony men, but Lamaisa was murdered. You know, it's a problem. It's a problem. Okay, now, Lahaloch, I would, yes?
Excuse me, but you can't walk into the jewel.
Okay, that's why I'm married to a tzaddikus. I very rarely walk in there. My wife goes in. I'm like, okay, your point is very well taken. We have to wait for it. It's a very serious point. It really is. It's a very serious point. I'm just giving you a list of shilas that I was asked over the years. Can a man have a business and he has a partner, only one partner, and the partner's a woman, a man and a woman? Partners in a business. I said to the guy, when you make your first $100,000 sale, who are you going to hi-fi with? That's a very serious shiloh. Can a man and a woman do carpool together alone every single day, 35 minutes each way? She's a married woman, he's a married man. Should they go to the office every single day alone in a car? I'm asking you the halacha. These are serious shilohs. Serious shilohs. This is not, as I said before, it's not mussar, and it's not frumkeit. It's a real shilohs. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a shiloh in Igros Moshe, which I'm not going to learn with you. I'm telling you right now, I can't learn the shiloh with you, but here's a shiloh. Can you go on a train, if you've ever experienced it, do you even know what it means to live in New York, go on a train, a subway train, during rush hour in New York, where everybody is pressed up against everybody else? That's a shiloh that was asked in 1960. Ramesha printed the shiloh in 1960. Can I go to work via the train? It's talking for his panosa. These are, you know, what should I say? You know, they're real shilas. How far does it mean? How far does a person go? Recently, El Al came out with a declaration or a ruling. I've seen this many times. This is a very interesting call. Very interesting call. Can you sit next to a woman for a 12-hour flight there to show? It's a real shaila. But can you make a chil Hashem to avoid sitting next to a woman? The answer to that shaila is absolutely no. You cannot make a chil Hashem. You cannot make the stewardess crazy. You cannot make a ruckus. You don't want to sit next to a woman when you fly there to show. If you find that's what the situation is, get off the plane. You're not going to go to a wedding? Okay, so no heter to make a chil Hashem because you got to go to a wedding. No heter whatsoever. You cannot make a chil Hashem. You can't afford to upgrade yourself to business. You can't afford to buy two seats. And don't fly. Or fly only when your wife can come with you. There's no heter to make a chil Hashem. El Al owes you nothing. You can act like a mensch with them, and they will probably act like a mensch with you. They've had a lot, in my opinion. I've been flying to Eretz Israel usually once a year for the last 20 years, always on El Al. I think they have heightened sensitivity training. That's the way I would read the situation. By the way, Moshe Feinstein Paskins, that you can. Okay, we'll talk about some particulars soon, but I want you to understand that's what these are halachic shailas. It's not a Musa Shir, yeah, no, but these are halachic shailas. These are halachic shailas. And they're real, shailas. Okay, now, I told the guy, why do you need a partner who's a woman? Why do you need a partner who's a man? He said, it's cheaper. Less expensive. I don't have to give her such a cut of the business. It's not her ikka. What? That's an interesting response. I told him, you're out of your mind. You absolutely cannot do it. I told him on a personal level, what are you going to do? You're going to go out for drinks afterwards when you're in a hotel, of course, with separate rooms. You're in a hotel in Las Vegas because you just made a $4 million deal. You're going to go down and get drinks because the guys you just made the deal with want to go down and get drinks. What are you going to do? I didn't say it's an easy answer. I said it's a serious shaila. It's a very serious shaila. Very serious shaila. Okay, let's continue now. And here was my debate. And here's the first time I'm doing this. I did not do this with the men's shir. I'm going to do it now with you for the first time. I gave you a piece of paper that looks like this. Okay, we're going to learn this piece of paper right now. There's a pasuk in the Torah, which some of you may say every day. In the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema, if you say all three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema, Loisa suru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, right? That's a pasuk in the end of Parsha Shlach. And once again, Chazal talk about the words. This is the Sefer Achinuch, one of the Rishonim, going back to the 1200s, who lists all 613 mitzvahs. He gives a brief description of what the mitzvah is, then he lists the ramification of the mitzvah. So the pasuk says, Loisa suru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. What does the word losa suru mean? What's that? Running after, you said? Straying after. See, it's very interesting. I'm not big into etymology, but the older I've become, I like etymology. The word losur. It's a scout out. Losur es oretz. It's a scout out the oretz. It's very good. If you spoke Ivrit instead of Ivris, you would say what? What'd you say? Latour. What is that in English?
Tour.
There are many words that have gone through the generations and have remained attached to the Hebrew source. This is one of those words. Tour, Lasur, it's all part of the same thing. All part of the same thing. Pass. What does pass mean? What? What is pass?
Bread.
That's right. Pass. Pizza. Pastry. They're all related. all related, all comes to the word pas. What's a sar? What's a sar? Who? What is a sar? A minister, right? An officer. What's a czar? What's a Caesar? A lot of words are related. What's that?
Someone in the government.
Yeah, someone in the government, right. Now, so skip down to where it's underlined now in the first small paragraph. It says, don't go after your heart. Zum minus. Minus means apikorsis. Minus means being a non-believer, a denier, a heretic. Don't go after your eyes, zuzinus. Okay, here we are. Zuzinus. What does that mean, zinus? What does zinus mean? Immorality. We can get a little better than that. Immorality is because you're afraid to say what it really means. You know what you don't want to say. It. I don't blame you. Okay? Promiscuity. Adultery. Achrei neichem zuzinus. What does that mean? What does one's eyes have to do with zinus? What's the teretz? Rashi really says, what's the first limb with which we spy? Most often, the first limb with which we spy is what?
Our eyes.
Avada. Our eyes. Our eyes then, the lev is chomed and the eyes are roeh, the heart desires, the eyes see and take things in. The eyes. The eyes are usually the first portal. Says the Sefer Chinuch, Yemachshavos arose, Ovois HaTuma. Those thoughts are the thoughts that create Tuma. Now, in the second wide line, underline, it says Vida Bini. It's a very interesting thing. I underlined it to show people. The Sefer Chinuch was a sefer that a man wrote for his son. We use it. La halacha. Vida bini. You shall know my child. We say, Margul of a pumech. Mashomu zechonu levroch. Aveira gereres aveira mitzah gereres mitzah. Shimtosh is dait chol amalos tavoy secho. That if your mind opens up. Lamalos tavoy secho. In order to fulfill your desires. Hurrah. Pamachas, one time, Timshach Achareha Kamapam. You will follow it many times. Anybody like potato chips? Anybody not like potato chips? Bet you can't eat just one. What was that on? Jay's potato chips. Bet you, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means exactly what it says. Bet you can't eat just one. Because you take one, we'll get you. How many people have started a little ice cream, so I'm only going to take 2 tablespoons? That's it, finished. I put it away after 2 tablespoons. 2 gallons later, right? Come upon him. I'm walking into this vort. I'm going to eat one piece of watermelon. And that's it. Okay, but that's my favorite chocolate. I haven't seen those cakes in so long. Okay, that's by the men's side. By the women's side, it's usually whatever it is. Okay, we all know. If a person can be a giant of strength in the world, to be kavish is yetzer, as we spoke earlier from the Chofetz Chaim, and to close his eyes. Here's our pasuk: meros bera pamachas, one time, yeko beinecha lasas kein kamapom, and a person will be able to do it many times. Ki ataiva timshe chaboso kimshoy chayayin al shoysov, because the taiva is like wine to a person who's drinking it. Ki asoivim, we spoke about this 2 years ago when we spoke about the child who became a ben sora or mora. We spoke about addictions. It was really last year. I'm sorry, not 2 years ago. It was last year. We talked about marijuana, about drinking. Ki asoivim le sishma nafsham le yoylam b'yayin. They never satiated. Ali yisavi lov taiva gedoyla. They want more and more and more. They want more and more and more. So it's a mitzvah to make sure that a person stays away from zinus. By controlling a person's eyes. Is this mitzvah relevant to women or only to men? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Next place where it's underlined, V'nei heges mitzvah zu b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zecharim unikevos. B'zecharim unikevos. Okay, now here, as far as this year is concerned, right now we're going to get to the, let's call it, in my opinion, the most sensitive part. Okay? Here's a shaila from the Shevet Alevi. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozna, one of Gedali Hador, he died a few years ago. We used to go to him on all the journeys of Torah. He wrote, I think 20 volumes of Shalos and Shuvas besides other Svarim. He was a Pesik in Bnei Brak for almost 70 years. Okay, now, he says the following. He gives an interesting description, and again, it's the first time I ever said this over in any shir. In the second paragraph on the right side, he's talking about what was mentioned in the earlier paragraph, and then where it's underlined, he says like this. Shimbiemes. Mistaklim l'shem znus v'ishus oivrim hanoshim k'mayhu hanoshim l'oysa surach l'vav chamiach reineichem hu lav hashove b'chol shemitzoven hanoshim al alavim k'mayhu hanoshim. If a woman stares at a man with thoughts of illicit relations with that man, and that man is a person who she cannot marry, he's married, she's married, it's impossible for her to marry him, and she looks at him and stares at him in a way to create zinus and ishus, the woman is over aloy sasay. Alav. Says, last line on the right paragraph, right corner, but that means not simply looking. It's much more. It's a concentrated look. It's a concentrated look. Avalirai Stam, on the top line now of the left side. Yabitu ba'anoshim b'li lozen einayim, d'haynu b'li machshava shalishus, if a woman looks at a man, but doesn't have these machshavas, and doesn't stare at him for a long time. K'may sheroyin hain, k'rogamay sakinasa, it's like women who could see from the balcony of the shul down to the men. That's not an isser. That's not the issue. It's not the issue. Now go down to the next paragraph, the third line where it's underlined. V'zeu achilik bein ha'anoshim l'anoshim. Ki bi'anoshim, when it comes to men, gam istaklus v'abotos stam osur. Even a look is going to be a problem. A look means a stare. Kikach teva ho'ish, because the teva of the ish is different than that of the woman. L'har miyad achar yisha. For loikein teva ho'isha, that's not the teva of a woman, ba'botastam. Unless, once again, she's steering with the intensity of getting into some type of a relationship. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be the problem. Is there an issa for a woman to listen to a man singing? No. Right? Absolutely no. Is there an issa for a man to listen to a woman singing? Yes. Is there an issa for a woman to listen to a man singing in depth so that she can again feel the possibility of a relationship with him? Yes, that's going to be awesome. Not because of the voice, because of where the voice is taking the woman. That's going to be awesome. Now, this position of Rav Ozner, which would seem to be in line with the Sefer Achinuch, is a very serious position. Because it shows us two parts of this year which are extremely important. Extremely important. The interaction that can take place between men and women. Between men and women. Now I'm going to say this rather quickly because I think it's important to hear it. Here we go. Is it permissible, as I asked earlier, for a woman to be a single partner, a two-man firm with a man. I wrote down in my notes, pashtus, it's not permissible. I didn't say it's absolutely awesome. Simply put, it's not permissible. Is it mutter for a married man and a married woman, or even a single man and a single woman, to engage in a carpool every day, 35 minutes each way? Pashtus, you ask me, I'd say you should not do it. Is it mutter for a man to be a doctor and have women patients? That seems to be the way Klal Yisrael is nayig. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, yes. What's the difference? I'm not talking about the problems that we've read about in the press, Rahman al-Hassan, over the years with doctors and whatever, and all different situations. If the two people are engaged in an activity which has a completely different kavana, the hainu for the health reasons of the patient, then it's going to be permissible. But it's a slippery slope. People have to know what they're doing. I never said that it's also for a man to give a woman a ride. It's raining outside. No, my rabbi said I can't pick up a woman and can't have a woman in my car. I never said such a thing in my life. There's a very famous word from Rav Gifter Zatzal. Even though he was born in America, he had a little bit of a European accent. I love the way he said this word, idiot! You're not going to pick up the woman, you're going to let her stay in the rain. Is it mutter for a Hatzalah member to save a woman? What's a shayla? You walk by, you happen to walk by a body of water and someone's drowning. Oh, it's a woman, I can't save her. The Gemara calls that person a chassid shaita. He's a fool. He's a frum fool. He's a fool. Okay, getting to all the detail. Why is it permissible? It's a fantastic shayla. Why is it permissible? Sitting on a plane next to a woman, definitely mokum to be matir. Now, you asked about Jewel. What about the streets? I know you mentioned Jewel. Is it mutter to walk in the street? What about the street? Okay, good question. Is it mutter to go to the airport? Where nobody's dressed up on a plane anymore? Exactly. So what's the issue? I once paid somebody $100. I was on a plane. I had $100 in my pocket, which you very rarely do. I said, this has nothing to do with you. It'll do with me. I'm an Orthodox rabbi. I'm very uncomfortable sitting next to a woman. Would you change seats with me? I'll give you $100. She said, I changed seats with you. He didn't take the money. Twice I offered people money. Quietly, over the money. Over the money. Because times have changed. Sitting next to, I'm being not as explicit as I'd like to be, but sitting next to people who aren't dressed is much different than just sitting next to people who are dressed. People are just not dressed. I once sent American Airlines, and I didn't send them. I got off the plane and I called the wonderful secretary of the shul. I asked her to please send an email to American Airlines. I said, I paid for a seat. I only got 2/3 of my seat. Because the person sitting next to me was so overweight that they took at least 1/3, if not 1/4 of my seat. And the problem was, it was a woman. So I was sitting, I don't know if you know the trick, but if you're sitting in an aisle seat, there's a hole at the end of the armrest. You stick your finger in that hole and you press the button, you can lift up the armrest. So I sat with my feet in the aisle every time the stewardess came by with it was impossible. I told them it was impossible. It was just impossible. But there were no seats on the plane. Okay, so now here we are. Are you ready? A person should not be exposed to a situation which is going to be dangerous. Okay, this is the way I ended the first year with the men. This is the way I'm going to end the first year with the women. I'm going to end, and then I have more to talk about, but I want to present. You're all your own individual paiskim for the following shayla, okay? If a person has an unfiltered smartphone, okay, I want to ask a serious question. What is that in your hands? That's my question. An unfiltered smartphone that has the ability to bring up anything and everything, what does that mean? I want to tell you something. I was not into it, but I didn't read too much about it. The royal wedding that took place a while ago. Mm-hmm. Princess, what was her name? Who is she? She got married, no?
Maiden Miracle.
Okay. She was from the royal family? She's the out. Did you ever see what they told her about protocol when you become the princess? Dress protocol?
That the way she keeps her legs.
Way she has to cover her hair, what kind of dresses she has to wear, what's not allowed to be exposed. It's like not shaykh. You could have it in any of our day school's handbooks for girls. It was not shaykh. Not shaykh. Not shaykh. Royalty. Royalty. I'm even... Kol kvuda bas melech penima. Every single Jewish woman is a princess, and every single Jewish man is a prince. But really, la halacha, we're all called b'nei malachim, we're the children of kings. No mussar. How do we conduct ourselves? But that's the mussar part. The halacha part is, how do we conduct ourselves when you have a phone, which is no different than going to the beach? Potentially. Potentially. Are you allowed to have a phone that has such incredible access? Potentially. And let's say everybody in this room feels yes. Let's say. I'm not saying that that's the answer. How about the 16-year-old boy? Is he in the bleachers? Is he in the beach? Where is he? Where is he? I'll tell you where he isn't. He's not in class. There's no way. He might physically be there, but his mind is all over the place. All over the place. All over the place. Two rabbeim, former members of this shul, as young children, young boys, young men, who moved here to shul, who were both teaching in wonderful yeshivas that everybody here has sons, grandsons, nieces, nephews, whatever. They told me the teaching curve in for them in their yeshivas has gone down so dramatically because no one leaves America. No one leaves America. Aye, they flew on a plane 7,000 miles across the pond, as they call it, because they have a piece of plastic in their pocket. They've never left America. And I'm talking a number of rabbis have told me, some personally, some I heard from other people, that it's the gaining the attention of the Talmidim has dropped so precipitously because they never left where they are. That's the Shaila. Is there another way? Nobody said you shouldn't have a cell phone. Nobody said you shouldn't have a smartphone. Nobody said anything. But is there another way? Maybe it is a filter. Maybe it's a different type of phone. Is there another way? Now, next week we're going to talk about a different subject, but one thing I'm going to bring up now, a debate, should I say it now or say it next week? I'll say it now. One of the most precious moments in a person's life. It's in fact a public moment, which is so private, it's incredible. One of them is when the chassan breaks the glass at the chuppah, and if the chassan's teacher told him correctly so, that the first person you give mazel tov to after the chuppah is over, when the glass is broken, is you turn to your kala and you wish her mazel tov. Not your father, not your grandfather, not your brother, and especially not your best friend, who's some idiot who jumps into the chuppah right after the thing. Okay, right. That mazel tov to your kala is an extremely special moment. How could it be that somebody allowed a videographer to put it on a screen as it happened? That's because we are losing focus of where we are and who we are. But that's for next week. But I want to bring out the point of what can happen. What can happen. Okay, now, there's a sheet. I don't know if it, maybe there's one on every table. The sheet looks like this. See the sheet? Just has names on it. Yeah, if there's one on every table, just let everybody, you don't have to look at it. If you have it in front of you, fine. If not, I'll just read to you what it says. I wrote this. Obviously, I wrote it myself. It's not printed. Two columns of names. There's two columns of names. Harava going to Moshe Feinstein, that's all. Harava going to Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all. Harava going to Shach, that's all. Harava going to Shama Zalman, that's all. Harava going to Yashua, that's all. Harava going to Vosan, that's all. Harava going to Shimer, that's all. Seven people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. On the other side, Harava going to Stipler, that's all. Harava going to Baron Leib, that's all. Baron Leib Steinman. Yibod Lachaim, Harava going to Chaim Kinievsky Shlita. You know the difference between these two columns? One has seven, one has three. I'm going to tell you the difference. Besides the stipler, signs for the stipler. These seven giants I went to with my wife. Okay, we went in, my wife and I, sometimes with one of our children, sometimes without our children. We went in to see all of these people, sometimes on Journey of Torah. The last two people here, they don't see women. Don't see women. Rabbi Leib Steinman did not take in women. And Chaim Kanievsky does not take in women. Although on Journey of Torah, I think it may have been one or two, we went to see Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. The women went to see Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Rebbetzin Kanievsky, she was an incredible person. She took them around the back, said, I'm going to pull up this shade. You've got to go look at my husband. He's not going to even know you're looking at him. Just go see my husband. But I told her that I was there at that moment. And I told her that tomorrow night or tonight, Zol Shikar Agrus to the Tata. So I sent regards to your father. Her father was Rabbi Yashiv. And we had 18 people on that Journey of Torah, 9 men, 9 women. So she says, unbelievable line. She says, my man, my husband, Ehut Meiruf and Freuen. He's afraid of women. My Tata, and she said it, which, Ehut Nishkin Meiruf and Freuen. He's not afraid of women. It's a classic line. That's what she told me. But I want to tell you like this. Rav Shach, I just saw recently, Rav Shach said, do you think that the stipler was frummer than me? They were contemporaries. They lived in the Bnei Brak. They were the two leaders of Bnei Brak. He doesn't see women. I do see women. What do you think? So Rav Shach said an incredible thing. The stipler decided not to see women. So who's going to see women? So I have to see women. What's going to be over here? He said, no, he made a cheshbon that women can't get. Hey, whatever his cheshbon is. So what's going to be? Who's going to give chizik to the women? The women want to say, the women want to talk to another, whatever he said about himself. Okay, so here's the deal. The deal is that interactions are very serious. They're not decided by Hollywood. They're not decided by Manhattan. They're not decided by the Washington Post or the New York Times or Paris or wherever it is. They're decided by halacha. Decided by halacha. It's a very serious halacha. How everybody interacts is a very serious shiloh. Who's the best person to answer that shiloh? It could be that if one learns the halacha, the best person to answer that shiloh is you. I'm not advocating that necessarily you do it. I'm saying that could be the best because you understand the circumstances. A person understands themselves. I don't know how it works in every family. But I'm imagining that there are many people who don't want their spouse to tell them what I should eat, what I should eat, and how much I should eat. I'm a big boy, I'll figure it out myself. When I'm a big girl, I'll figure it out myself. But that's only if you're well-armed. You spoke to your doctor, you read a book, you know something about what it means to take care of yourself. A person doesn't know what to do to take care of themselves, and they have issues. That's what's going on here. That's a very serious shadow. Very serious shadow. There's a world out there that's moving at 100 million miles an hour. 7 years ago, there was a massive asifa called Citi Field. Ramat Yisrael Solomon, Kamat gave up his life for that asifa. The word smartphone was not in the lexicon. It was not in the lexicon. They had an entire asifa about technology, and not one person mentioned a smartphone, because it didn't exist. Didn't exist in the regular population. Maybe it was on the planning boards, or maybe it just started. Remember the term blackberries? That was the shiloh. What's a blackberry? Nobody knows what a blackberry is anymore. You have a blackberry, you're beyond the fossil. You know, like you have no shaykhus. No shaykhus. But just because it's here, it doesn't mean that we have to follow it. Doesn't mean we have to not use it. We have to figure out what we have to do. But figure out what we have to do. Next week we're going to talk more about this subject in some very specific ways. But this, today, I think we have to be able to talk, and again, I started off in a sensitive way, in a halachic way, in a tzniyistic way, that l'maisa, the shilohs are real. The shilohs are real. They're real. The beach is in a guy's pocket. I don't mean only a guy. I'm saying, you know, the talk, the raid, the exposure, who I can speak to, who I can't speak to, it's all over the place. Okay. I shouldn't say it. I'll repeat it again next week, at the beginning of next week's year, okay? Here's where we're holding. After the chuppah, everybody dances the chasen kala to the yichud room. In the yichud room, there's a chasen kala. No one else is allowed to be there. If anybody else is there, if the door's not locked, it's not a yichud room. You can answer this shayla halacha. In the yichud room, a young girl who just got married and got a present from her new husband, whatever it was, pearls, a necklace, whatever it was, okay? Within 1.8 seconds, which is a halacha shiur called Teicha de Dibur, she took a selfie and sent it to her friends. Now, tell me, is that yichud or not yichud? Tell me. What is that? Okay, that's the shayla. That's what we're holding. Now, next week we'll talk a lot more about this, but I want to bring out that this is what we're in the grips of. And that's why I said this is, the, in my opinion, it's the most relevant shayla there is. Everything else is a distant number two. A lot of important shaylas, a lot of things that people are working on. Gamani b'soichem, I'm also working on a lot of important things, but this is top priority. Because we're losing a little bit of a sense of balance if we haven't lost it already. And the people in this room who are mature, who may not have lost it, do not have the maturity of, do not have the immaturity, whichever way you want to say it. They're not in the same place of maturity level as 16-year-olds. Not boys and not girls. And not 18-year-olds who are in Eretz Yisrael alone, without parents for an entire year. It's a different world. It's mamash a different world. We have shalos for ourselves, and we have shalos for our children. That's the halacha. That's the shayla. That's the halacha. That's where we are. Next week we'll talk about that. I can't thank you enough for coming. We should all be zeicher to be matziach, Rabbi Zeicher Kol Tov, and thank you again.